takes the floor around the old jukebox in the candy store. The joint starts jumping till the roof comes tumbling down.
Good Monday morning to you. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, with the Pensacola Expert Panel. It is your favorite time of the week. It is Tuesday morning, which means it is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning to you. How are you doing?
Doing great, because it's Tuesday. I'm here with you.
Oh,
so
it is Tuesday. My favorite.
It's the best day of the week here on Pep Talk with you.
So much fun. So much fun.
If you have a question, 437-1620, that's 437-1620, you can call or text. We'd be happy to answer your question. Mike would be happy to answer your questions because I don't know.
No. Tammy, you're getting better and better at this.
Thank you for that.
You're really doing good.
I do really good at asking you the questions that people text in. That's about all I get. That's all I got for you. But yeah, so you can also send us pictures. I like that too as well.
We like the pictures. No doubt.
Mm-hmm. So what about all this rain?
Well, you know what? It's just amazing. Over the years, I have always thought that and observed that June is a dry month.
Mm-hmm.
You can almost always rely on it being a great beach month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dry, you plan to go to the beach, go boating, golfing, bike riding, whatever you want to do. You had plenty of days to do that.
Right.
But this is a little off the rails, I'll tell you right now.
It's literally been off the rails.
Yeah,
I completely agree.
I checked this morning. I kind of wanted to see what the week held. I looked online at one of the weather reports, and it's what it said today, 85% rain. Tomorrow, 95. Thursday, 70. Friday, 90.
This just depressing.
So. Say it isn't.
So what you're saying is turn the sprinklers off.
Oh, absolutely. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I do feel sorry for a lot of folks that had a lot of Father's Day plans.
Oh, yeah.
Father's Day weekend plans that just were done in by these storms.
What did you do on Father's Day?
On Father's Day, I got together with my son and all his kids, and we just had a great time.
Good.
A great
awesome.
Dinner, and it was fun. It's always fun.
Very good. I'm glad you had a good time.
Oh,
despite the rain.
We had a great Father's Day. We really did.
Good.
Got phone calls from other children.
Aww.
And so we did good. We had a good time.
That's wonderful.
Going back to the rain, we need to say this. And this, you're going to think I'm crazy when I say this. But in Pensacola, we can have all this rain. I mean, flooding, days of rain, afternoon storms and all that. But be aware that we do have the sandiest soil this side of the Sahara Desert. We do. And that water just goes through. So 3 to 4 days after all this rain, when the rain stops, and you live, say, in Gulf Breeze or even in the southern part of the county, be aware that you may need to look at watering
really
a little bit more. What you don't want to do is, and most of us, I'm sure all of us, if we have a sprinkler system, to have it turned off, obviously. But don't just leave it off saying, oh, you know, we had all that rain, you know, here in the first of June, middle of June. I'm just going to leave it off for a while. But don't do that. Just pay attention, because if we get hot and dry and the weather clears up, don't neglect your watering. You really should not do that, because this is not going to stay with us. This water is not going to stay with us to sustain your lawn or your plants the rest of the month. It's just not going to do it. Unless my percentages are right here, then you just forget about it.
Just don't worry about it.
Just don't worry about it at all. And, of course, this is so many things that we need to do. How many people out there want to mow their lawn, needs mowing, but if you follow the rules and don't water the lawn when it's wet, when are you going to do it?
Right.
Because it seems to always be wet. And so you put it off and put it off, and then you get to the rule where you only cut off a third of the blade of grass, but the lawn is so high you can't help but cut more than that.
Right.
And so you have to. It's not much. You don't have much choice. Also, there is a lot of folks, me included, that would like to put that little extra fertilizer that we talked about in the midsummer, especially on St. Augustine grass. But you don't want to put it out If you were going to put it out and have a light rain, an afternoon rain, that would be okay. But with this crazy, crazy, all these inches of rain we're getting, all it's going to do is take that fertilizer, wash it into the street, into the stormwater system, into the bays, bios, where it doesn't belong. So everybody, including myself, are sort of sitting there ready to do it, but we've got to wait till this weather changes, no doubt about it.
Absolutely. We had a friend text in on the advice of the Arbor Day Foundation website. I recently planted a pear tree, a Fuji apple tree. That's actually my favorite type of apples, a peach tree, and a plum tree. What do you think the likelihood of those are surviving and thriving in this environment are?
Well, it depends on what some of the varieties are. Let's go back to the apple trees. Mm-hmm. Apple trees, if you're going to grow a red delicious like you buy at Publix, it's not going to do here because of we have so few chill hours, which is the number of hours kind of below 40. Red Delicious would take, maybe 1,000 chill hours. Mm-hmm. And where they grow, they obviously have that. That's just their climate. Here, we have to pick our varieties very closely. I'm not familiar with, this is the second time we've had someone mention, was it Fuji apple? I'm not familiar with that. The ones we normally grow are the Einsheimer apples or the Anna apples, which are propagated and grown to take less chill hours, and they'll do fine here. Mm-hmm. The peaches, plums, and the pears, the same thing. You need to pick your varieties that are going to take the chill hours that we have here in Pensacola. And your county agent has that information. You can get online and find that information. Go to that exact variety that you have bought and see what the chill hours are. Because you don't want to buy a tree that's not going to produce here. I mean, that's why we planted it. And if we just don't have enough cold weather, that can really affect the growth of fruit trees.
Absolutely. The first time I ever ate a Fuji apple was in Okinawa, Japan.
Really?
20 years ago, and I've eaten them ever since.
To me, they
are the most crisp and sweetest of all of them. I've tried all of them. I'm like, they just don't compare to the Fuji apple.
I just don't know what the chill hour requirements are for a Fuji apple. The Einsheimer and Anna, some people call them Israeli apples. They were propagated in Israel. Mm-hmm. And so they're Israeli apples, and they take those fewer chill hours. The Fuji, we need to do a little research and see what the chill hours requirements are for
handy
that particular
dandy
tree.
Google.
But that's the second time somebody has texted us about it, and I should have looked that up to see what the chill hours are. But we need to do that, see if we can pass that on.
That's right. What is a good, what are good trees to plant here as far as fruit? Are there ones you're like, absolutely, lemon tree?
Well, peaches and peaches plums and pears.
All those are good.
Oh, all of those are good, absolutely. And the apples we just talked about are good also. Yes, you can really grow fruit trees here very successfully. You can grow, pecan trees. That's kind of not a fruit tree, but it's a tree that one can grow if you have the room for it. That's the problem.
Right.
You have to have a lot of room for that. But yes, there's plenty of fruit trees that one can grow.
So Fuji apples require 350 to 400 chill hours and require a pollinator such as Gala, Golden Delicious, Granny Smith, and Suncrisp.
Yeah, and see, some of those won't do here. That 450 to 500 chill hours, maybe a little more than we get here. What we do, we need to look up exactly how many chill hours we get in Escambia County. I thought we were around 200 to 300. I may be a little low on that. You've got to have a pollinator. And that's why, going back to the apples, the Anna and the Einsheimer, you need to plant one of each, because you do need a pollinator there. It's like blueberries and that type of thing. You do need a pollinator. That's the best way to do it. Absolutely.
In North Florida, we received somewhere, this is University of Florida. Yeah. Okay, in North Florida, we receive somewhere from 500 to 700 chill hours each year.
That seems a little high to me. Seems a little high. But it could be. It could be. If so, Fuji apple will be good. So what you've got to do is determine which of the pollinators would have the same chill hour requirements.
We might have to look that up. We're going to take a break here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. If you have a question, comment, you can text or call. hope you're having a wonderful Tuesday morning. Here on News Radio 92.3, we have Mike Wiggins. This is Fensco Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. It's the Garden Line. It's a wonderful Tuesday morning. You can call or text your questions, 437-1620. We would love to hear from you. Nancy says that Fuji's her favorite, too. She's going to go buy some today. Nancy, Bailey's has some really big ones because
I just bought some.
Mm-hmm.
Do they really?
Yes. Very good.
You know, it would be fun, because I think we're all good customers of Bailey's, is to ask them, where do they get their Fuji apples?
Okay.
You know, who's supplying them? You know, is it along, you know, this zone 8 around here?
Good question.
Or is it north, south, whatever? The chill hours is defined between 32 and 43, 44, 45 degrees. And that's an accumulation of the hours where it gets that chilly. So, anyway, so... Your report said 700. That was the top line. Mine says around 400 to 500.
Okay.
We'll clear that up.
We're going to find out.
But if you just chilled, the variety of fruit tree that you have or you want to buy, generally it'll tell you the chill hours for that particular tree.
It says it on the information thing?
Generally that. Or
tag?
Exactly. Your county extension service would have all of that. Mm-hmm. For each tree, absolutely.
Nice.
And like I say, it's important to plant one that is going to grow and produce here in Escambia County. Absolutely.
I think that would be fun to grow some fruit trees.
Oh, no doubt about it.
My grandmother had a pear tree, and we used to always go down there and pick pears off the tree. It was fun.
Yeah, pear trees are very prevalent in Northwest Florida, no doubt about it.
We had a friend text in, what's the best way to protect fig trees and citrus trees from the freezing in the winter in our area?
Well, that's a great question, and we certainly had our practice on that.
Didn't we?
Winter.
It was 19 degrees?
It was 19 degrees. There are different ways to do it. Obviously, if it's in a container, which some people grow citrus in containers, and it's not too heavy, put it somewhere where it's out of the cold. If not, wrapping it up is a good idea, and a sheet, not plastic, you don't want to do that, a blanket of some type. Some people will be very fancy and build a little teepee, if you will, and put an electric, you know, with an extension cord out, and put a light bulb in there, which will generate heat. That is another way to do it. But of course, once they get so big, there isn't much one can do. Be sure they're well irrigated. You don't want to do what you see on television down in the citrus groves in Central and South Florida, whereas they put water on there and let the water freeze on the foliage. Don't do that. They are so high-tech down there. They know exactly what they're doing. And generally up here, we don't know how to do that and don't want to do that.
So don't just spray them down so they freeze.
Yeah, don't do that. So just be sure that it is well irrigated. And then, you know, wrap it up and cross your fingers. Sometimes it depends on the variety. Mm-hmm. You know, some do better than others. And just another thing to check is which ones are going to put up with the cold.
Okay.
Better just do a little research on that. But, yes, 19 degrees, we lost a lot of citrus. And, of course, the experts said after that cold, don't do anything. Remember we talked about that, Tammy? Mm-hmm. Don't do anything. Just let it go until we get into mid to late spring. Then do your pruning back or dig it up and throw it away. My neighbor had a citrus tree, beautiful citrus tree, right across the fence from me, and I kept watching it. Mm-hmm. And, in the last month or so, it was nothing but brown twigs. So they finally chopped it down, and we're going to start over.
Yeah.
It's a shame. We're not used to that kind of
weather. Right, absolutely. A friend texted in, put Christmas lights around the base.
That's another good idea, because that generates some heat.
It does.
That's a great idea. Do that, exactly.
That might be a little easier, too. Just wrap some Christmas lights around it.
Exactly.
Plug it in.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And it's decoration.
It would look great.
It would look wonderful.
It may not save your tree, but it would just look terrific.
The tree might be dead, but the lights will be beautiful.
Absolutely. No, that's a good idea. Good suggestion.
Right.
Very good. Absolutely. Change subjects just a minute. Just a minute here. Because I saw this the other day. And I need to know if any of our listeners have ever grown this. I'm sure they have. I had not. It's called a curcuma plant.
How do you spell that?
C-U-R-C-U-M-A. It has a couple of different names. Number one, I can hardly pronounce, curcuma Alice Matifloria.
Wow.
Okay, well, we won't even go there. Another name is Siam Tulip, S-I-A-M. I went to someone's house for an event, and right in the front yard, it looked like, almost like tulips, beautiful purple flowers on gorgeous foliage.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, what is that?
Oh, those
they
are
said,
pretty.
It's a curcuma. It's a curcuma.
They're very interesting looking, too.
Very interesting. Some people call it a Java tulip, and mm-hmm. some people call it a hidden ginger.
Hmm.
It's somewhere part of the ginger family. It's grown from rhizomes. Rhizomes are not bulbs, and they're not roots. They're underground stems, if you will. And there are a lot of plants that grow from rhizomes, and they'll come up around it. It likes semi-sun, doesn't uh-huh. like pure sun, but semi-sun, semi-shade, if you will. It's subject to freezing, 32 degrees. It can be a little bit of a problem, and it'll die back. The only bad thing that I discovered about this curcuma was that it is toxic to dogs and cats.
Oh.
But it'll keep the deer away from your house.
There we
I
go.
I know that's been a real problem.
Not harm your dog, but the deer. They're
oh,
not
yeah.
coming around.
There are no deer coming around. But it's called a Siam tulip.
Oh, very cool.
Very, very interesting plant. And I am the persons who own the house, mm-hmm. good friends of mine, who grow them. They grow them every year. And they like the white ones, but this was a purple one. They are great
cool.
for cut flowers in the house.
Oh, yeah.
In other
yeah.
words, when they bloom and you cut them off and put them in a vase, mm-hmm. unlike many of the plants we have here in Pensacola, they stay there.
Yeah.
They stay there. You know, they're in there for a nice period of time mm-hmm. before they have had their better
Very
day.
Very good. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm here with Mike Wiggins, The Garden Line. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about, I want to know if you know any plants that help with allergies. I think that's great. We'll see.
Hey, 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 yeah.
Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, with the Pensacola Expert Panel. It is The Garden Line Tuesday morning with Mike Wiggins. Thank you so much for texting in your questions, your pictures. If you have a question for Mike, the phone number is 437-1620. We'd be happy to hear from you this morning.
We got a great picture.
Yeah, we did.
Some curcumas.
Mm-hmm.
The Siam.
Yes.
Siam tulip. And just beautiful. Just beautiful. My question to the folks, nice people that texted that in, was how did they survive? How did they survive the winter? If they may not even have had them in the 19, they may have just put them in this spring. But if they've had them over the years, how did they survive, or did they survive 19 degrees? I would think that they would have died all the way down and then come back.
Okay. Also, I'm going to show you a picture. We're going to take a break in just a minute. But she was asking, too, how she trims this fig tree. I'll show you on the break. We're about
okay.
to go to a news update in just a few minutes. But we will definitely get to your questions over here. How do I prune this fig tree down to the green? So I'll show you in between.
Okay.
But if you are more than welcome to text or call 437-1620, and we'll get to you right after the break. We have a Fox News update followed by a local news update in our newsroom. Informative, local, dependable. It's Tuesday morning, The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins here on Pep Talk. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you're having a great Tuesday morning. We have some questions we're going to get to in a few minutes, but first we have a phone call. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Hi, do you have a question for Mike?
I have a little antidote about my curcuma. I have a friend who raises them, propagates them for a $10 donation for Guardian Ad Litem. So I bought a couple and left them in the pot too long, and they were getting, you know, just not looking great. So we put them in the ground in our garden and found out that my son had previously put Roundup there. So they obviously didn't do too well, and we took the dirt out and you know, cleaned it out, put them back, and they survived. But then through that that really cold weather, we were out of town, and so I could not cover them or anything. They totally died back, and I thought, well, I'll just buy some more, which I may do anyway. But this summer or late spring, they came back up, and they are looking really great. They totally, you couldn't see anything. They died under the ground. It looked like dirt. And now they're blooming and growing again. So I just wanted to say how hardy they are. They're very, very hardy.
Well, that is so interesting, because we were just talking about that, about what would happen in the cold weather. And we talked about, we thought that they would die back, because they got back to that rhizome, which once again is an underground stem, and it dies all the way back to that, then comes back in the warmer weather. And that's exactly what happened to yours, and I'm really glad to hear that.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful plant, and I think the person who showed them to me bought them at one of the big box stores.
Oh, really?
They didn't have to go online to buy it or anything, which you can do, I believe. But they were able to buy them locally. So that is great to know that they will come back. It's like agapanthus. Mm-hmm. My agapanthus, died all the way. I cut them all the way back at the wrong time. I did it anyway because they were so ugly.
Yeah.
And my goodness, this year they have been absolutely gorgeous. So it's good advice on their curcuma.
Yes.
It comes in different colors now. We talked about
the
purple one, but they come in white. And they are great plants. So thank you for sharing.
Yes, thank you
that.
So much for calling.
Maybe we'll all plant some next spring and see what happens.
Let's do it. Also, we have another. Jeff from Pensacola asked, with all the rain lately, when should I water my plants? And we addressed it. We're going to address it again before the end of the show today.
Yes.
But also, this is for the garden line. Friend text in from Florida. I have a fig tree and a pineapple pear tree. They are both showing lots of brown spots. The pineapple pear is 4 years old. How should I treat it?
Well, if it's a brown spot on the internal side of the leaf, not on the edges of the leaf, but on the internal, that's the fungus.
Okay.
Now, some of those spots, some people call frog eye, because they're little spots, kind of two-color spots, mm-hmm. Very small, smaller than a dime. If it's probably not going to kill your tree unless they're just absolutely everywhere. And you can treat it. There are fruit tree fungicides, because this is a fungus problem.
Okay.
There are fruit trees that you can spray with a fungicide.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you get those spots when it's high humidity and it doesn't get much higher than what we've had, and they're just cosmetic.
Right.
And they're not going to damage the production of your tree unless they just get out of hand. So without seeing it, mm-hmm. Hard to tell you exactly what to do. But realize there are some solutions here. But spraying a fruit tree or spraying a lawn or spraying anything with a fungicide needs 48 hours dry following the spraying. So those are the best two words ever. Good luck. When are we going to have that?
Right.
So you just have to sit there and be ready. But I would wager that these are probably not going to damage the tree long term.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, come wintertime when they lose their leaves, they'll put on nice, fresh, spot-free leaves in the next spring. So that's my take on it, and I hope that's right. I believe, without seeing it, I would say that's what's going to happen.
Okay. If you need more information, you missed something here on the Guard Line, you can always head over to News Radio 92.3 at the end of the show. We will podcast this, and you can listen to it all over again.
Very good.
You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. It is the Garden Line. I'm here with Mike Wiggins. If you would like to call or text your questions, 437-1620. So let's get back to Jeff's question about there's been tons of rain. Should we just not water our plants the rest of the year?
Now, let me tell you what. Jeff, and I know he didn't ask that question. But no, we talked about that earlier in that it is Pensacola. Mm-hmm. It is sandy soil.
Right.
It does dry out very quickly. Mm-hmm. Now, with these percentages that they're predicting over the next week of rain, probably leave your sprinkler system off and don't water the lawn. But 3 to 4 days after it quits raining and it looks like we're into a period of dry weather, which normally we have in June anyway,
right?
You need to start thinking about watering again. And of course, if some of your container plants are out where they're getting all this rain, that's great for them. But the way to tell if they are ready for water is it's the scientific method that we've talked about on the show a lot. Stick your finger in the pot. If it's moist, you're good. If it's dry, water it.
Okay.
That's real smart stuff.
I don't know if we can do that. That's really pretty difficult.
Pretty complicated.
So complicated. So, yes, definitely. So we still need to water, even though.
In a few days. Pensacola, you certainly have to do that. But for now, it looks like, as we talked at the beginning of the show, it looks like our chances of rain all the way through into this coming weekend are relatively high. Let's hope that the weather folks are wrong.
I know, because I sure am missing the beach.
Oh goodness. No doubt about it. And you know, and while we're talking about the weather, real quick, Tammy, you know, if you look with some, there's a tropical system.
Yeah.
That's headed toward the Lesser Antilles, and there's one behind it also that they're watching closely. It may not be too late to check in with your favorite tree surgeon to thin out some of those trees before we get into these storms. Now, nobody's saying these are going to come our way, but it's kind of a wake-up call to say, hey, we are in hurricane season. We don't want our trees to blow over, and one way to stop that is to thin them out a bit. And a good tree surgeon, and we have a lot of good ones in Pensacola, can help you with that.
Well, we're supposed to be 1 week ready now, not 72 hours.
So you better hurry.
So 1 week, still, you know, got to do things like what you said, you know. Trim down the trees, make sure everything's
Make sure it's open so it doesn't act like a sail on a sailboat and just catch the wind and blow over. Absolutely.
Yes, goodness. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. If you have a question, comment, 437-1620, you're welcome to call or text. We'd be happy to answer them for you. We've had a lot of great questions this morning so far.
Absolutely. One thing I was going to mention to you, and I had someone approach me on this. Their situation was they have their house, their patio, a swimming pool, and then the back of their property, relatively close, a kind of a suburban 6-foot wood fence.
Mm-hmm.
And behind there is somebody's house that's a 2-story house.
Mm-hmm.
And their question was, what do I do for privacy?
Oh.
To plant along the fence that's a fast grower for privacy.
Hmm.
Well, a couple ways to look at that. One, some of our fastest growing hedge plants, I'll use an example, ligustrum, probably one of the fastest we have. You could plant that, but even if you plant one that's, say, 3 to 4 feet tall, it's going to be a matter of years before it gets over that fence and gives you some privacy. What I recommended to this person who asked me the question was buy some fast growing river birch is a good example of fast growing river birch. Plant them along that fence line. They're going to be very fast growers and are going to give you that high privacy, that line of sight privacy that you're looking for. Disadvantage, you plant those deciduous trees next to your pool, you're going to have leaves in your pool in the wintertime, and you're going to lose that privacy in the winter when those trees lose their leaves. But the point is, during the summer, you'll have those fast-growing trees, if you will, right on that property line to give you some privacy. So that's one way to look at it. But at the same time, you may want to plant some of your faster-growing shrubs like Iliagnus or Ligustrum or some of those, Clearia, Japonica, that type of thing, along your fence. So long-term, you will have two layers of privacy.
Right.
But those shrubs are going to take so long to get over that fence and give you enough privacy. Also, and this is expensive, this can be expensive, plant some of your tall growing hollies, and you can buy them tall nowadays, maybe 8 to 10 feet tall. Very expensive. Your Marinelle hollies, your Apopka hollies, your American hollies. That will give you permanent 12 months out of the year privacy. But that's kind of an expensive proposition. Yeah. But it sure looks good. It really does look good.
Absolutely.
So that's just some to answer the question that was asked of me. Mm-hmm. Other people may have the same question.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break here on the Garden Line. If you have your Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 92.3. Yeah. He kind of got me there, didn't he?
Yeah.
Informative, local, dependable. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. You can call or text your questions, 437-1620. We do have some a picture of some grass, and I showed it to Mike. Good morning, by any chance. Can you tell me what kind of grass this is?
Yeah, I look at it, and of course, that's kind of hard to tell, but it looked like Bermuda grass. Mm-hmm. It's just been allowed to grow tall, because the picture showed it about 6 to 8 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
Bermuda, it looks very similar. If you watch the golf tournament this weekend from Los Angeles, which is a very difficult course, but they had some areas with that Bermuda. Mm-hmm. And when the golfers got into that stuff, it was a tough shot.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's such a wiry grass. But that's what that looks like to me. Insofar as controlling it, very hard to control. You almost have to use what we call a non-selective herbicide.
Okay.
That's an herbicide, a weed killer, if you will, that kills everything.
But our friend said it's so pretty and soft, and I want to get more, but don't know what to look for. Thank you. Thank you for the information. Love listening.
Yeah,
have a great day.
It looks like Bermuda grass.
Okay, great. Yeah, it is beautiful.
Now, there are people, and I have a good friend, as a matter of fact, that has a Bermuda lawn.
Mm-hmm.
If you're talking Bermuda, once again, you kind of go back to golf courses.
Uh-huh.
That's more of a golf course grass. But this friend of mine has got a Bermuda lawn. Now, you have to have a special lawnmower for it, a real type lawnmower versus a rotary lawnmower.
Uh-huh.
And it takes a lot of fertilizer, and you'll get a little fungus in it and all of that. But mm-hmm. It's a beautiful grass. You've just got to be dedicated to your lawn. Like you own a golf course.
Uh-oh.
Or the greenskeeper on the golf course. Exactly.
Did your guy win it? Did Clark win it for you? Or were you rooting for somebody else in the U.S. Open?
I'm a big Jordan Spieth fan, and he didn't even make the cut.
Oh, I'm like, who?
But I really wanted Ricky Fowler to win.
Yeah.
I like Ricky Fowler. He's been in kind of a slump, and I really wanted him to win it. But Wyndham Clark was very, very good. I thought it was very moving how he dedicated his victory to his mother who had passed away.
Yes.
And told him to stick with it, never give up.
Aww.
And so he dedicated it to his mom. I thought that was very nice.
Yes, we just saw him on the news this morning talking about it.
Yeah, a great name, Wyndham.
Wyndham
Clark. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that is a good name. I think it was meant to be.
Exactly. He's a good golfer. You'll be hearing from him.
Oh, absolutely. I was telling my friend I would have never watched golf, but I watched it for hours, and I've had some great conversations now because of it. So I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
This week, so that was fun.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Mike. You got all the answers, bud. For this,
I have no answers. I just
the Garden Line.
I just have about a 5 steps here checklist for summer.
See, that's why I let you go ahead.
Checklist for summer. Okay, here we are. Fertilize, number one. Fertilize your blooming plants as needed with a granular or liquid fertilizer. That is true. Especially if your plants are just growing slow and they are washed out and the fertilizer you put on there before has kind of, mm-hmm. with all the rain, has washed out. That's good. Now, if you have a plant that's got a leaf that is kind of turning yellow and kind of washed out, but the veins are in the leaf are dark green, that is generally a lack of iron.
Okay.
So you could spray it with liquid iron or put granular iron on it, or so many of your good fertilizers quality fertilizers contain iron.
Okay.
So you need to look at that to kind of see why, if you're fertilizing it, are there specific reasons that you're doing that? This last one, this next one, we've talked this one last week about checking your plants and lawns daily for insects and disease. That goes without saying.
Right.
We had the nice text about the spots on the leaves a minute ago. Last week we had a long discussion about worms.
Yeah, we did. There was an ugly one.
Oh, he was
horrible.
Scary. Horrible. We talked about using BT for worms, which is a very safe insecticide. But we also had callers saying don't kill the worms because they were advocates of butterflies and that type of thing. So that was a good talk. Here's another one. Spray your roses once a week for black spot and mildew.
Okay.
That is nice to say, but hard to do. How many of us have time to spray them once a week?
I don't have time to water anything. That's why I always
That's exactly right. And, of course, that's the black spot and mildew on roses is a fungus situation, which you need the dry weather. We don't have any of that. So do the best you can. Now, if you don't want to spray your roses with black spot and mildew or for black spot and mildew, two things. One, water them from below. Don't water the foliage. Water them from below because leaving water on the leaves will cause fungus. And also, forget about it and plant a knockout rose and you don't really have to worry about it.
There you go.
Exactly.
You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. It is Tuesday. It's the Garden Line. We're going to take a quick break here. If you have any questions,
he's back.
I know.
Elvis? Elvis is back.
He's got to show up at least once a week.
Here. Oh, no doubt about it.
It's just random. He just
likes
shows
the garden line.
He does. I like the garden line, Mike. It's great. If you have a question, we have a couple of minutes. 437-1620. Our friend was asking where we can buy Bermuda grass.
Good question. You can probably buy it almost anywhere, but I do one caution about planting Bermuda grass seed is once you got it, you got it. Hard to get rid of. To get rid of it, you got to kill everything. Mm-hmm. But I would think a place I know would have it is Barnes Feed Store out on 29 on Palafox.
Adjacent.
So it's a feed store, nursery, been there forever.
They got some good stuff in there.
Oh, they got some great stuff. And great people, really experts on what they've got. So any event, that's a good place to buy a Bermuda grass seed. No doubt about it.
Oh, yes. What is your favorite grass to plant?
Well, it depends. I love everybody planting Zoysia.
Zoysia.
But you got to have the sunlight. It needs to be full sun to plant that Zoysia. My favorite grass is St. Augustine if it didn't have all the problems that you and I have talked about on the garden line. We're going to talk about, maybe next week, going through all the different varieties of grass.
Okay.
And the good and the bad and the ugly. And we'll go from there.
I think that's a great idea, Mike.
Let's do
Thanks so much for joining me this morning. Coming up, we have Kate Thomas with ESPN Pensacola and the Florida Department of Health. Stay tuned. If you have any questions.